join us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Part of the pile of stuff here. Boyd County Board of Supervisors, November 10th, 2020. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
I have none.
I have none.
I have none. Department heads and elected officials. Terry Johnson, Boyd County Auditor.
Good morning.
Newly elected auditor.
Yep. We survived so far. We still have a lot of cleanup and finalization to do for the election. Later on, after you guys canvass, we still have two township trustee positions that we get to draw names for because there was several people in there that got two votes.
My apologies. Go ahead.
Several that just got one vote. And then also this Thursday, at 1 p.m. here in the boardroom, we will have the post-election audit. The Secretary of State chose Precinct 7 to audit, so we will recount all of their ballots. I think there was 495. So we'll do that recount on Thursday. And we're just trying to finish up on stuff and go on.
Feel like a weight was taken off your shoulders?
Oh, give me another week or two, then the weight will be a lot lighter, so.
I did hear a compliment for Iowa and how they handled their elections on a national news syndicate.
Yeah.
Talking about they did very good, their polls out of Des Moines was great, only ones that were correct. They had a lot of good things to say about you guys.
Well, we've been doing absentee voting for quite a while, and it's been increasing, so it's not like it's anything new for us. It just keeps getting tweaked more.
Don't tell them that, just accept the compliment.
Yeah, I know, thank you. But yeah, there's some states that never dealt with it before until this year because of the virus, and it's just, I don't know.
Well, thank you, and once again, good job, Admiral, and you and your entire staff. Jared, land use.
I got one item on the agenda. Nothing else really particular I wanted to discuss today. It's been kind of a quiet week, I think, with the election. It's things have been temporarily at bay in terms of new land use inquiries, but could very well resume anytime. So that's all I have.
Thank you. Sheriff Mike Johnstone.
Morning, Tom. To say the least, we're very happy with the results of the election, and we're working very closely and, you know, for a very smooth transition into Sheriff Lundening's term coming up. So things are going very well. We've had a command meeting yesterday, and so things will just keep moving on as it has in the past. So we do have a couple of hires we're working on, trying to get a few deputies lined up for because there will be some movement in our command structure at the sheriff's office and room for other folks to move up in the office, which would be a great thing. So Kevin may have a comment on that also. But again, we're moving forward and very happy for a smooth transition in the future.
Thanks, Mike.
That's all I got. Thanks.
Rodney Gleesner, maintenance.
Good morning. I don't really have too much. We're keeping busy. I want to thank my guys. They've done a great job the last few weeks with the election and getting things set up and taking care of all that stuff. So I really appreciate all their help. They've done a fantastic job. Also want to remind everybody tomorrow that the courthouse will be closed to honor Veterans Day. So just want to make sure to remind everybody that the whole courthouse will be closed down tomorrow. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Rodney. Ken Heineman, Community Services.
Good morning. Just keeping busy. Probably the only big news is our mailbox fell over. we've ordered a new mailbox for the buildings there on Cottonwood. And I'm just going to the post office to get the mail for the moment, so.
Did somebody hit it?
No, it just rusted underneath and finally fell over. So it was a multiple mailbox.
It was a steel post, I think, just from years with the salt and snow. It just rusted the bottom off. So, got a new one on order, should be here soon.
Was it a regular fence post?
No, it was about 4x4.
I was going to say, I've got some of them I'd donate to you to get them out of my garage.
Thanks, Ken.
Yep.
Brian Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. Things have been good on the bridge on Highway 99. They're removed the deck for the most part, if not entirely, and started to move the steel. Beams are being torched off and moved out, so making good headway. Got a couple runaround pipes sitting down the creek, but they don't have the runaround, or it's not really a runaround in this case, but built. So that progress is going good. Weather's been good, and they've definitely made headway. We are working towards, as you know, a future project, and I'll mention this later on the work session. We're working towards another bridge project to the north on 99, and one of those things we have to do is get some soil borings done. So we may be looking at a one-day closure because the bridge is, we're still trying to figure out, they don't think they can do the soil borings and keep the bridge open because it's so narrow. So, which is a screwy time because of the way it all falls, but it's a little bit beyond our control also. So I'll let you guys know more, and if we end up having to do a closure, we'll obviously communicate with the public, but that's not there yet, I guess is what I'll say. So we're still figuring all that out. We have bids out for our shop on Iowa City Road. That'll be, I think we have a bid opening next week. So that's coming along, a lot of interest, so that's a good deal. And we will be mailing out bids for the Flint Bottom Road paving project probably today, actually. So we'll take bids on that in December, probably after a board meeting at some point. I think the second week in December. But anyway, so that's going on, a lot of activity, just getting projects out the door and, of course, stuff going on.
Thanks, Brian. Angie Vaughn, Safety.
Good morning. I really don't have anything new at this time.
Krista Pogamill, Local Health.
Good morning. We continue to be busy at Public Health. Obviously, our numbers have gone up for the county. As of this morning, there was 2,016 positive cases. Our percentage is 19.2%. It's down from 20%, but we still continue to be pretty high up there. We are changing our immunization clinics. Instead of having walk-in clinics on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we're going to change those to appointment only, and then call our local health department at the 753-8290 number to schedule those appointments. And that's due to capacity. We're really just trying to keep up with this contact tracing. We are hiring another part-time temporary contact tracer, but we've just had a lot of cases here recently, as I'm sure that you've all heard. Other than that, I do have an agenda item.
Okay. I noticed on the state website that there's only, there's an 8 or 9 counties that are below 15%.
Yes.
Over 91 or something like that. So. Thank you, Krista. Colin, are you on the line with Colin Gerst IT?
Yes, I am.
How's it going?
So, a lot better. My old office had quite an interesting end of the week there last week. We're all kind of out. Sick at the moment, but we're doing some work from home and trying to keep as busy as we can. You know, I kind of notified all the department heads what was going on, and I appreciate all the emails I got, you know, wishing us to get better and everything. I appreciate that a lot. It means a lot. I'm kind of stuck downstairs in the basement at home, self-isolating, trying to keep away from the family. My wife's upstairs with my two girls. And I think if you asked her, I'm probably getting the better deal of the situation. So, but overall, that's pretty much it. Just trying to get as much work done as we can remotely. And then here, I see we have one other caller on here, and it's Jeff Brewer from Conservation.
Okay, thanks, Colin. Give your wife our regards.
I will.
Confident it'll be a long time for her. Jeff Brewer, Conservation.
Good morning.
busy with burns. The beautiful weather the last few days has helped us really get a lot of work done in the field. Most of the parks are closed up for the winter, although Big Hollow is still open. We had 16 campers this past weekend. Other than that, we have an agenda item later on, and that's about it.
Thank you, Jeff. Didn't miss anybody, did I? Okay. Chris took care of COVID-19. I did not have any correspondence. Did either of you gentlemen?
No.
No.
Proceed to discussion and vote. Discussion. Krista, did you want to read this into the record?
Yes, that would be great. Do you need a copy?
No, we've got a copy up here. It's a Des Moines County Board of Health position statement on electronic cigarettes.
Yes. So the Board of Health met to discuss electronic e-cigarettes for quite some time. That's been a concern. A couple of years ago, it was a big thing in the news with e-cigarettes and how they affected young people and the lung damage it was doing. So they felt very strongly about this and wanted to do a position statement. Des Moines County Board of Health supports the inclusion of prohibition of the use of e-cigarettes in state and local smoke-free air regulations and or tobacco and nicotine-free policies in order to maintain current standards of clean indoor air, prevent involuntary exposure to nicotine and other aerosolized emissions from e-cigarettes, and reduce the potential for renormalization of tobacco product use. The Surgeon General issued an advisory on e-cigarette use among youth in December of 2018, declaring e-cigarette use among youth an epidemic in the United States and called for aggressive steps to protect our children from these highly potent products that risk exposing a new generation of young people to nicotine. Nicotine is highly addictive, and exposure during adolescence can harm the developing brain, impacting learning, memory, mood, impulse control, and attention. Nicotine also impacts the cardiovascular system by increasing heart rate and blood pressure. Since 2014, e-cigarettes have been most commonly used tobacco product among U.S. United States youth. From 2017 to 2018, e-cigarette use among high school students increased from 78% and 48% among middle school students. Research shows that youth and young adults are particularly attracted to e-cigarettes due to the sweet fruit, candies, cookies, cereal flavors combined with targeted marketing practices known to attract kids. In 2019, 4.1 million high school students used an e-cigarette and 1.2 million middle school students. E-cigarettes go by many names. There are hundreds of brands and thousands of flavors. In 2017, a product named Juul gained huge popularity with unit sales increasing by more than 600%. Juul sales suppressed all other companies, and in December of 2018, Altria, maker of Marlboro, purchased a 35% stake in Juul. This product has minimal exhaled aerosol, reduced odor, comes in menthol and fruit flavors, and has a sleek USB flash drive design. A Juul cartridge or a pod uses nicotine salts, which allows for high levels of nicotine to be inhaled more easily with less irritation. These pods contain as much as nicotine as an entire pack of cigarettes. New devices allow users to mix their own filler liquids. E-cigarettes aerosol is not harmless. In addition to nicotine, the aerosol that users inhale and exhale from e-cigarettes contains other harmful substances, including heavy metals, formaldehyde, acrolein, cancer-causing chemicals, volatile organic compounds, ultrafine particles that can be inhaled deeply into the lungs. The nicotine present in e-cigarette aerosol is absorbed not only by users, but by bystanders as well. The FDA has just begun to regulate e-cigarettes, so there is no mechanism for consumers to know for sure what is in the products of the aerosol. In terms of disproportionate impact identified through national studies among youth, older students, Hispanics, and whites are more likely to use e-cigarettes than younger students and blacks. Among adults, males, Hispanics, whites, and those with lower levels of education are more likely to use e-cigarettes than females, blacks, and those with higher level of education. Additionally, there's currently no conclusive scientific evidence that e-cigarettes promote long-term cessation, and e-cigarettes are not included as a recommended smoking cessation method by the U.S. Public Health Service. Unfortunately, e-cigarettes use is strongly associated with the use of other tobacco products among youth and young adults, including traditional combustible cigarettes. At the federal level, President Trump has moved to increase the legal age to purchase vaping products to 21 years and has limited the availability of flavored vaping products. While the Des Moines County Board of Health appreciates these efforts, the board concludes the evidence-based population level strategy, including a prohibition of use of e-cigarettes in state and local smoke-free air regulations and or tobacco nicotine-free policies, is a necessary step to address this public health epidemic by reducing e-cigarette use. Des Moines County Board of Health also recommends consideration of additional evidence-based population level strategies to reduce e-cigarette use among young people, restricting young people's access to e-cigarettes in retail settings, licensing retailers, implementing price policies, strategies to curb e-cigarette advertising market that are appealing to young people, and strategies to reduce access to flavored tobacco products by young people. And that was adopted by the Board of Health on 10-8-2020.
Okay, thank you. We've already held a public hearing on this. We voted against it a few months ago, but we'll accept this as a position statement from the Board of Health. Thank you, Krista.
Thank you.
It's a lot of reading. That was. If you aren't a first grade teacher. We have resolution 2020-49 and final plat for the Tick Ridge, another strangely named subdivision. I'm guessing that's you, Jared.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a trade-off. Every other week we get an interesting name, and then it's a person's name the week after that, so it's a nice balance. This one's a pretty, when you get right down to it, apart from the name, it's a pretty simple situation here. So we have a 7.5-acre lot being created. This is off of by the intersection of Prairie Grove and Beaverdale Roads, right near the church and the cemetery in Prairie Grove. This is actually part of the Beckman Estate, which is several hundred acres, which recently went up for auction, and it was basically split down the middle, or I think the northern piece is larger, but the northern half of that was purchased by an extended family member of the Beckmans, while the southern portion was purchased by Matt Johnson of Burlington. And even before that was finalized, Mr. Johnson had already coordinated with another person who was interested in buying that property, the southern part, but they worked out an arrangement where he would keep this 7.5-acre piece along Prairie Grove and then sell the remainder to this other person. And it's pretty much all wooded terrain and ravines. So the plan would be for that person to use it for private recreation and hunting. Mr. Johnson then would be essentially be the same for this smaller piece. The idea would be to hold on to that for at least several years and then sell it. So at this point, the long-term situation isn't quite clear for this lot. It could potentially be sold to someone who might be interested in building a home there, but that's all speculative at this point. It could just as easily remain as open space, so it's just up to whoever they sell that to, what their plans are. So it was then evaluated accordingly. In terms of comments we received, Secondary Roads noting that they would need to use the existing entrance off of Prairie Grove. Apart from that, I think it's a pretty straightforward situation here. We are putting a condition on the resolution, which is our standard. And for any time there could be a home developed there, this time it's more if than when, but just so that's on the record, that if someone were to build a home there, that they'd be required to put in get a permit for a septic system and have that installed prior to occupying a new house on that property. So with that, we'd recommend approval of Tick Ridge.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokers.
Yes. We'll get this, I'll be after you.
Kind of the same ballpark as Mosquito Park, in terms of naming places after annoying insects.
Better get one named after a bird to go down there and peck all those insects out. Okay, we have a revised employment contract for the county engineer. We've discussed this for a couple of years, apparently. He doesn't want us to rent him out to other counties.
That was just one of the things way back when, so since you guys brought it up, we took it out.
So I know you guys are looking at this, so.
Yep, I read it. I make the motion that we sign the contract for Mr. Carter for the county engineer.
Second.
Terry.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Tom Brokers.
Yes.
Thank you.
Now he has to buy his lunch, right?
I had no idea, send him to Jones County for the weekends.
Isn't that 43%?
Yeah, yeah, here, I'll tell you what, let me stamp that. We have personnel action, we have one part personnel action for conservation. Marcus Knack, a naturalist, the end of his 6-month probation. The new rate is $40,929.66.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Tom Brokers.
Yes.
Thank you.
Not a problem. We have three personnel actions for the correctional center. We have Tucker Pulse, 2 unpaid days, 16 and a half hours, October 26th and 27th, 2020. We have Tucker Pulse, full-time correctional officer, a 6-month step increase. The previous rate was $38,716.18. The new rate is $39,704.38. And we have Angela Schertz, a full-time correctional officer, a 36-month step increase. Previous rate was $42,426.82 a year. The new rate is $43,261.74 a year.
Move to approve all three.
Second.
Terry.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Tom Brokers.
Yes. We have reports. We have the General Assistance Report for October of 2020. We have the Veterans Affairs Report for October of 2020. Which brings to mind a question. Where are we on replacing, if we advertise the replacement for Bob House, right? As
No, I was going to check with other county auditors since it's been, what, 28 years? 29 years?
It's been a
something
while.
Like
I think
that.
We have to the end of the year.
Yeah, I thought I would ask them see what other counties have posted or described the position. So I'll see if I can get some assistance from other county auditors.
I don't think he's going to change his mind.
No.
That's what I'm understanding. We have minutes for the regular meeting of October 27th, 2020.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. And we have minutes for the regular meeting of November 4th.
Approved.
2020.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
And I want to thank my girls for helping me get those minutes done.
Now we have a canvas of the 2020 general election. Take your shoes off, gentlemen. Do some counting.
Okay, everybody should have reports in front of them. One of them shows the summary and the other one shows by precinct for each race. We had a special absentee board on Thursday at 1 o'clock and we counted 6 more ballots. And then yesterday was the deadline and we counted 3 more ballots.
Were they mail-in absentee or provisional?
Both. Both. We actually had 4 provisional ballots that we could not count because 3 of those they did not provide us with any. The reason that they had to vote provisional was because they didn't have proper ID with them. And they did not provide us with proper ID, so we could not count those. And the other one was a possible felon. And then we had several absentees that were received and after the deadline, and they were postmarked either election day or following the election. So there were several of those that we could not add to our count. So we ended up with 20,082 people that voted out of 28,469. So that gives us a 70.54% turnout, which is about regular. So they pushed, I think we got the brunt of it with absentee because that greatly increased because we ended up with well over 12,000, close, I can't remember exactly what the numbers were for absentee, the total numbers. But some of the precincts had heavy turnouts, some of them didn't. But overall, you know, we had a few little issues here and there, you know, equipment, had to go fix that and stuff. But other than that, I think everything went pretty well considering we had a lot of new people. And the chairs that were at some of those precincts said that a lot of those were keepers. So everything worked out well. So on the final election summary report, it still shows President Trump as the top vote getter in Des Moines County. And then for Senator, it was Joni Ernst. And for U.S. Rep, Marionette Miller Meeks. And for State Senator District 44, Tim Goodwin. And State Representative District 87 was Dennis Cahoon. And District 88, David Kerr. County Supervisors, the top two vote getters. The top vote getter was Shane McCampbell, and second behind him was Jim Carrey. There was a 14 vote difference between Jim and Bob.
Congratulations, Jim. Does it make any difference if I found a bag of votes in my
First of all, I'd ask you, where in the heck did you get those?
Well, it just happened to show up.
We did. I know some people are astounded because I think at one time, I think we had like 466 outstanding absentee ballots. And actually, that is less than what we've had and other general elections because it's nothing to have between 700 and 900 of those still outstanding that we never get back.
Some people just never send them in. Some people take them to the polls and,
yeah,
and turn them in.
Them. We still have a lot of those to go through and delete those or void those that were surrendered at the polls. And so those numbers will come down. So, but back to District 88 was David Kerr. Oh, we already did that one. Oh, auditor, me. Sheriff, we had Kevin Glendenning, and then we had Township Trustees, and so everybody that filed papers for each of the townships, they got voted back in. Concordia Township had a position to fill a vacancy, and there was 25 votes, and there might have been 4 of those four or five that got two votes apiece, so we're gonna have to draw for that one to find out who the grand winner is for that. And then also for Jackson Township, there was two positions open and we got five write-ins. One person got two votes, so for that second position, we're gonna have to draw a name out of the three.
Since their names were all drawn in, do we know these are all willing candidates?
Well, I don't know. You know, they might just get a letter saying, woohoo, you won, we drew your name, and it's up to them to write back and say, no, they choose not to take the position or something like that. But, and then also, of course, there was all the judges, Soil and Water Conservation District, all three of those members were voted back in, and Ag Extension, they had four members, and all of four of those were voted back in. And there's all the judges, and also at the very end, let's see, there's the public measure, that was the one whether to have a state convention, and in our county, they voted no. And also in each township, the last time we did this was back in 2006, where we gave each township the option of whether to vote for, elect, or appoint their trustees and their clerks. And at that time, half the townships chose to appoint and the other half chose to elect. And so we put that back on the ballot this time, and it passed in the remaining six. So from now on, starting with our next general election, which is 2022, township trustees and clerks will no longer be on the ballot. They will be appointed. So that's the next thing I gotta do, is get letters sent out to all of those that need to be reappointed, so we can get that.
And obviously with an additional 9 votes, there weren't enough votes to change any results from election day, so.
No. So you've got the summary there, and then by precinct is the other one, which shows how many election day and how many absentees each candidate received and each was brought into each precinct. And I double, after reading about Jasper County, it's kind of like, whoa, so. So I went and double checked just to make sure that, you know, I was satisfied that everything got downloaded correctly. So I just double checked again, and everything that was submitted on election night was downloaded correctly. So double check that, and then plus all the other additional ones were added, so.
Do we draw the names before or after we vote to approve the canvas?
Let's draw those before. So the first one we will do, let's see, Jackson Township. Steve Mullahay actually got two votes, so he gets one position, and then we have to draw for the second position. Who wants to be the lucky dog?
Chairman. I can call him up.
They already do. Orville Byers Pence Jr.
And he lives down there, so.
Good for him.
And then this one is for Concordia Township to fill a vacancy, and these are the ones that actually got two votes apiece.
Alan Schwartz.
Okay.
Are we good?
Yep, so I will make up certificates for them, so then that way you can sign those, but you can do that afterwards, but.
Okay.
Can you explain why all the states don't operate like Iowa does?
No, I cannot explain what the other states do.
I know. What's the matter of federal government? Why can't they make that constant?
Well, I think probably constitutionally that the states are supposed to take care of that. So, we need a motion to approve the results as canvassed.
So moved. Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
And Tom Broker?
Yes. We will sign these after the meeting too, so make sure we sign the right ones.
Yes, you have all kinds of documents there to sign, so.
The chances of me guessing which ones are the right ones. Probably not very high. Other business?
I have none.
I have none. Future agenda items? We need some time in the next couple of weeks to approve those magistrate nominees.
Yeah, I think I have to contact them first.
I was about to say, we probably need to contact them.
And I still need to work on, now I can concentrate on the ordinance, updating all the ordinances, accepting all of them.
Yeah. And finding a Veterans Affairs Director. You have a full plate still and the election's over. Any other future agenda items?
Have none.
Committee reports.
We attended the conservation board with conservation. She was there, you know about it. I had a Zoom meeting last night with Iowa Workforce and Mississippi Valley Workforce. And only three people showed up. It was all in the box. They couldn't get Zoom to come through on their password, so we canceled it. So we'll have a test Thursday. I'll report next Tuesday.
The only meeting that I attended was that joint meeting with the conservation board, and they discussed some of their long-term plans and financial issues. Public input. If anybody from the public would like to address the board, we have a limited seating. Anyone with comments during the, may email the board of supervisors at board@dmcounty.com. That's board@dmcounty.com, or call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4, and we will hold those lines open for 2 minutes. Is there anybody? Yes, sir.
Michael Cecil, 2815 Herblow. I started coming to these meetings years ago with a big lapse there, and I just wanted to say thank you, Bob, for your service.
Oh,
you've given the community endless hours, and we appreciate that.
I second that.
Been a real pleasure. Great people to work with.
Best of luck in the future.
A great guy. I made me look. It's a very rewarding experience, I have to say. It's not always pleasant.
No. But thank you.
I see a lot of grandchild visiting in your future.
Well, I have a grandson. I'm not really planning for Cedar Rapids Kennedy. We have pretty high hopes for, and I expect not this many of those games.
Great. Anybody else in the public like to address the board? Thank you. Got 45 seconds. Anybody has anything to say? I'm sure you had something to say.
I thought a moment of silence for Alex Trebek.
Oh.
Jeopardy.
That's long enough.
I didn't hear you.
I can tell they heard me.
See, maybe now you'll get some peace and quiet, Bob.
Oh, I didn't hear.
Our 2 minutes are up, so with an aye, we're adjourned.
Aye.
We're adjourned.